I have been given complete authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I want to talk this morning about our Great Commission. Our Great Commission. Let me give you some background to this scripture. Jesus' body was placed in a tomb. A large boulder was put in front of that tomb. And whether it be a group of men or an army of men, that boulder was not going anywhere. It was secure. Yet an angel from heaven came at God's command, and immediately the stone was rolled away. The guards went into a dead faint, the Bible says. So in other words, they're dead, but they're not. They're unconscious. All through the power of God. And also at that time, some women came and they were sort of startled. And the angel spoke to them. He said, go and tell my brothers to meet me in Galilee. Jesus came, as it were, to these women and said, come. And on several occasions, after he wasn't in the tomb anymore, and said, go and meet, I'm going to talk with you in Galilee. See, Jesus was dead, but now he was alive. And this was an extremely powerful moment, and let's see how this pans out today for us. As people who believe in God, who people are on a journey with God, people that have faith of some description for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. See, Jesus has also asked the disciples a simple question. Who do you think I am? And Peter replied, you are the Son of the living God. And many times he spoke to his disciples about his death at the hands of the Pharisees and religious people in Jerusalem, and that he would rise again on the third day. Not all of them. Well, they believed it then when he talked about it. But there was an issue when it came to it, which we're going to look at briefly this morning. In Mark 16, let's read in our Bibles. I want to read it from the New Living Translation. I think I've got this, Dave. Mark 16. Might be easier just to read it from the screen. Thanks. Go into all the world. Go everywhere and announce the message of God's good news to one and all. Whoever believes and is baptized is saved. Whoever refuses to believe is damned. All right, so that's actually not the right scripture. After reading that, let me get to it. Mark 16. We'll read this together. Mark 16, that's further along. That's the second part I want to talk to you about this morning. My apologies. In Mark 16, verse 9, it says this. It was early on Sunday morning when Jesus rose from the dead. And the first person who saw him was Mary Magdalene, the woman from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went and found the disciples who were grieving and weeping. But when she told them that Jesus was alive and she had seen him, they didn't believe her. Okay, are we understanding this morning? They didn't believe her. And afterward, he appeared to two who were walking from Jerusalem into the country, but they didn't recognize him at first because he had changed his appearance. And when they realized who he was, they rushed back to tell the others, but no one believed them. The people Jesus had been with were in a state of unbelief. Now, it's kind of understandable. Jesus has been through horrific death on the cross, and he's in the tomb. Mary went to Jesus' disciples. They didn't believe her. Jesus walked with two of his former companions. They told the others. They still didn't believe them. Even when things don't look so good in your world, we must go back to what the Word of God says in our life. Whether that's, in this case, Jesus himself spoke to them. It's the Word of God directly. But we believe in the Word of God. Amen. We believe in its power. We believe if Jesus says he can raise someone from the dead, we can believe that. We can believe that people can be healed because Jesus himself said that we could do these things and even greater things than these. And so When Jesus says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And when the Word of God says, whatever the Word of God says will be, we can ill afford to allow ourselves to fall out of faith. There is a great commission for our lives. See, Jesus took his disciples to task severely over their stubborn unbelief over this situation and refusing to believe the account of the others. Jesus says to his disciples, look at this in Mark 16, which is the right scripture this time. Dave, thanks. Go into all the world, go everywhere and announce the message of God's good news to one and all. Whoever believes and is baptized is saved. Whoever refuses to believe is damned. Second version of the Great Commission. These are some of the signs that accompany the believers. They will throw out demons in my name. This is Mark 16 continuing. They will speak in new tongues. They will take snakes in their hands. They will drink poison and not be hurt. They will lay hands on the sick and make them well. Good news comes to those who live by faith and not by sight. Good news. Good news is that Jesus, first and foremost, is alive. You have to choose whether Jesus is going to be dead or alive for you. And this can be really subtle at times. Most of you have know about my foot. For those of you who may not have been here, my foot was broken. They had written it on the report at the hospital. And Andrew and I could have chosen to believe that it was just simply got better, but we gave glory to God after the 10 days, and we thought, well, no, because the guys had come and twice, on because it was two Sundays, and actually laid hands on my foot for healing, prayed for my foot, and it was better. And we just trusted God that was really good news. Why I'm saying this is, because I went to I'd been going to the gym, and I'd actually been on crutches the first 10 days, and I happened to go down to my local cafe and order some breakfast, and before I ordered breakfast, I said hello to one of the personal trainers who was having breakfast there, and an older lady than myself, and she'd been there for years. I happened to know her back in South Fremantle, and she said to me, I can't believe how quickly your foot's got better. I've seen you walking around. It doesn't even look like you've hardly got a limp anymore. And she immediately said, isn't it fantastic what weight training can do? But I didn't actually take it any further. My coffee was ready. Am I the only one that does this? Come on, let's be honest. But I really had a good news story, right? I really did. I had another opportunity. No, this was a different person. It was an old mate. In fact, some of you know the old real estate mate's back in town, but he's going again. But in the meantime, he said, tell me your news. I said, well, actually, Andrea, you know, and I, she actually, we fell down the stairs together. We didn't take that further. And he goes, so I said, but actually the guys at church pray for, he's been in our church a couple of times. And he's actually used to do some youth stuff, did some youth stuff once as well. He knows about church, knows about God, been in Connect Group. And I actually said what had happened, and I said, look, I actually, 2 weeks in a row, the guys in church prayed for me. And so when I went back, the guys were looking, because 10 times they did the x-ray, seriously, they did. 10 times they did the x-ray going, well, it says here that it's broken, but we can't find the break. The point is, I actually said to him on the phone, I said, but Ben, The thing is that I believe God healed me, and he goes, I do too. That's good news. Hey? That's excellent news. I'm glad I had that story and it wasn't the other, just left with the other one. But there'll be an opportunity because I see this lady quite a lot. Now I've got all you as my witnesses. Precious on. But I said that for one reason. We can easily, can't we? We can easily glance over something that can actually change somebody's world. We've got good news. Go in all the world with what? Good news. And we've got good news. We just simply prefer to go, oh yeah, same old, same old. We've actually got the best news. And look, you could go scientific and go, well, you know, maybe because you were doing the gym and you were lifting your foot up and down, but I'd rather give God the benefit of the doubt. You've got to have our Jesus on our lips rather than, okay, yes, sure, it probably did help a little bit, but I'm still giving God the glory. I was supposed to go to Africa on crutches. Can you imagine it? Oh, that would not be good. What about when we have prayer for healing and almost immediately it's finished, we go, oh, if it would just be better. Sometimes we have a negative confession after our prayer. When we've been prayed for that thing, we've got to still believe, okay, it might not have changed right there and then, but at least give God a chance. Sometimes we walk out the building, oh, we've got to change some of the habits in our lives. Because otherwise, how are we going to have good news? I'll tell you one thing, Andrew and I've just been continually saying about, you know, God's been doing it. Well, I keep getting better and better. That's got to be good news. Go into the world and preach, what? Good news. So we have to have good news on our lips. We have to have good news about what God's doing in our world. So good. God's doing good stuff. Paul, Claudia, Sophie. God's doing great stuff. God's got the best news for any one of us, and it doesn't matter how educated we are, it doesn't matter whether we know hardly anything, it doesn't even matter if we can hardly read, God's the same across. He has no prejudice. He has no worries about what race we are. He has no worries about what color our skin is, the way our eyes are. We are all exactly the same. We are equal in God's sight. And so you and the next person next to you and the next person next to you, we all have the same ability through Jesus Christ to receive our good news. Yeah. What about the blind beggar? Let's continue to talk. This guy didn't even know God. He did afterwards. Now, if a blind beggar who doesn't know God, he's got a good ears, obviously, and he'd heard that Jesus had been doing some stuff. So he calls out. He calls out when the crowd's going past. He said, what's going on? What's going on? And they said to him, Jesus is coming past. So he calls out, Jesus, Savior. Jesus, where are you? They told him to settle down. Settle down? Man, this guy was expecting good news and they told him to settle down. You don't settle down when you've got good news. He wasn't even a Christian and he's believing for his resurrection. Serious. So he yells all the louder, Jesus! If you're asleep, you're awake now, sorry. Go and get him, Jesus says. Jesus looks at him and goes, what do you want? Like, Jesus knew what he wanted, but he said it anyway. What do you want? Because what's in our heart's got to come out. What's in our heart has to come out, church. What's in your heart? What is it that you want? He says, well, I want to see. So Jesus lays hands on him, and immediately he's healed, and he follows Jesus. He follows Jesus. He becomes a disciple. Come on. If we're disciples, we've got good news. And we continue to follow the good news because it's better than the bad news. Yeah? He also said your faith has healed you. Too many times we allow our own circumstances, our own situation. We've got to allow our faith to rise. If we're going to be a part of our great commission, my great commission, your great commission, the great commission. You know, it's four times in the Bible. I think they did it for a reason. So that we get this. The gospel is to be preached, the good news. It's not like you have to have it all rehearsed. You simply got to have some good news about what God's doing in your life. I'm excited now when I go and see that personal trainer lady friend of mine this week. I'm sure I'll see her. God set it up for me. This is going to be so cool. I say, you know what? You know how you were saying? You were saying, well, it was a weight training. Well, I've actually got another story. I must tell you about it. Nothing's never over unless we decide it's pointless. You don't know what God can do. We can resurrect stuff. Jesus is the best at it. Sometimes we've got to work miracles, eh? So if you want to come to Presence and have this kind of experience every day for a whole 3 or 4 days, there's 5 tickets left. Get on board. If you need more information, see Helen after church. The gospel is to be preached, the good news of your relationship with Jesus. That's fantastic news. It's not bad news. Mark's version of the Great Commission was thought to be written to a Gentile audience. All people other than Jews. Now back in these days, they thought they owned everything, the Jews. But this is for everybody else. Remember, Peter had also had the vision of all the different animals. He goes, well, God wants to... Everybody's equal. Everyone, everywhere. The King James puts it. King James actually says every creature. See, God is fair with every person on the planet. He has no favorites. And when Peter had the dream, it was to go everywhere. Turn to your neighbor and say, go everywhere. Now, that doesn't mean you have to go to Africa. Doesn't mean you have to go to Malaysia. Doesn't mean you have to go to Singapore or even closer, Indonesia. Doesn't mean you have to go anywhere. Look around you. Just look around. Have a good look around. Just, you know, twirl your head. Have a good look around. Okay, you need to catch up those people after. That's great. The Greek word found in Matthew 28 for nations refers to people united in kinship, culture, and common traditions. Our word ethnic comes directly from this Greek word. Therefore, though it is common these days, especially for English and Western people, that making disciples means to go to every country, he was actually directing his followers to make disciples among every ethnic group. You don't have to leave Australia. Am I serious here? Come on. I think God's up to something. We've got a global village. We can have every ethnic group here in C3 Church Fremantle. How cool would that be? Hey? So, you may not, or you may have. You may have grown up eating the same food as the person next to you. Or you may not have grown up with the same food and same schooling or whatever. But together we make up the kingdom of God. Go therefore and make disciples. Luke 24, third version of the Great Commission. Yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah must suffer and die and rise again on the third day. With my authority, take this message of repentance to all nations. Everyone say the word repentance. Beginning in Jerusalem, there is forgiveness of sins for all who turn to me. You are witnesses of all these things. Luke 24, 46 to 48. Jesus' desire is for repentance to be part of sharing the gospel. And I'm not just talking about, it may take a long time for other people to repent to the way that you know what repentance is. But we've got to have the right heart. At least we've got to be right with God. And if we've got to be right with God, we can't actually hold prejudices against others if we're going to do the Great Commission. We can't, I'm not going to talk to that person. What would Jesus do in that situation? I think God's up to something incredible. We've got to learn, even in church, not to take offense. Yeah? It's going to happen. We're all serving together. We've got more people than we've ever had serving now. At some time or another, someone's going to tick you off. You'll probably tick someone off. I'll tick you off. Learn not to take offense. Learn to, hey, it's all right. If there's something we need to confront one another on it, do that and let's move on. We're going to view others from a certain perspective through our own experience and backgrounds. That's for sure. But don't hold on to the past. Let's move on. Let's do the work of our great commission. Let's be good news. Let's see what God can do. Let's start inviting people for Easter. Take a brochure. If you need more, they're out there in the foyer. And let's invite someone. It could be the best good news of your week when they actually receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. A Pharisee asked Jesus home for a meal. And he hadn't stuck to the normal things that would happen. Jesus still had dirty feet. And there was a really, well, the Bible says she was a really sinful woman, but really she's just a sinner like everybody else. But she happened to have gone a bit wayward in her relationships. Well, it doesn't sound too different to right here and now, does it? In all honesty. But the religious people couldn't handle it. Same thing happened with the disciples at the woman of the well. What are you doing talking to a Samaritan woman? But Jesus crosses all boundaries. He's for all people. He came for everyone. And so we have to let go of some of these prejudices. And as that woman is crying and wiping with her hair Jesus' feet, he says, your faith has saved you. What's more important? What you look like, or someone else's faith in God? Seriously, we've got a work to do. It's our Great Commission. And there's a fourth version of the Great Commission in Acts 1:8. I'm glad we're Pentecostal. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You shall receive what? Power. And what are we to do? Be witnesses. In Jerusalem, in our own hometown, everywhere around. Everywhere around. We have the Holy Spirit on our life. We have every opportunity for God to start a relationship of good news in someone else's life. We have the best news, church. So wait for the Holy Spirit. We've got to plan stuff. Yes, we're going to do Alpha in May. Yes, we've got to have plans. Yes, we've got to invite people over, but we can still wait for the Holy Spirit moment so that we can help transform someone's life. You shall receive power. This is where we need the most power, church. The most power. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit that can make a difference, and salvation is in the atmosphere. Let's expect together this Easter. Let's expect the atmosphere to be alive and ripe for salvation. But the way that happens is not just to expect, but to invite someone so there's opportunity. See, it was that atmosphere at Pentecost when they were up in the upper room and then they left and Peter talked quite boldly and 3,000 people came to the knowledge of the Lord that day. Peter obeyed the word of the Lord, our great commission. Peter got it. The Bible says that the people liked what they saw. They turned from their sins. They were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And they too received the Holy Spirit. I would like to experience a deep sense of awe with every person in church, as Acts talks about. Power of God coming on our lives. Why? Because we're all involved in our Great Commission. Good news is on everyone's lips. Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, I pray. I pray help us, Lord, to be a part of your Great Commission. let it indeed be our Great Commission. All mankind is a mission field, Lord. Every ethnic group. Father, I pray today, help us to bring increase into the kingdom of God. Not for our sake. Let us put our own personal agendas, our own backgrounds aside, and obey the word of God, which says, share good news. Whoever they are, share good news. Father, today, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen.